Thank you very much. Just for the benefit of folk who perhaps come for the first time today or haven't been with us for a little while, we're going through a series on the life of David, and it's called Looking at the Heart of the Matter, really understanding who God is and what he's like, and then looking at how he acts and works in the life of David, and then asking the question, what does that mean for us? A house for God. A house for God. You know, one thing about David is that when he got it wrong, and sometimes, as you know from his life, he got it very wrong indeed, his heart was in the right place. His heart was always in the right place. He really loved God, and he wanted to worship God and to glorify God. And that's why we see him today coming up with this wonderful vision at the beginning of chapter 17. And it was for all the right reasons. On the surface, it seemed like such a good idea. Just remind you, in the first couple of verses, after David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." You see, I suppose David looked at the place where he was living, a palace, and then at where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was, in a tent, and thought to himself, this just isn't right. It's not proper. What I need to do, surely, is to build a magnificent temple to house the Ark. It was obvious, wasn't it? Certainly obvious to David what needed to be done. A wonderful dream of what might be. His motivation was a good one. It was respect and worship. So having had that idea, he thought, well, I'll bounce it off Nathan, the prophet. So he goes off to Nathan, who's a reliable and a respected prophet. And when Nathan hears David's idea, he gives what was a perfectly reasonable response. "David, that's a great idea. Whatever you've got in mind, go and do it, because surely the Lord is with you." "Yes," must David have thought to himself. "It's a green light. Even the prophet says yes. I've got a green light. I can go for it." But of course, the job of a prophet is to speak God's words into a situation. And the first words that Nathan offered to David weren't God's words. He gives a human response to a really good idea. But at this point, he hasn't actually heard God's word. He hasn't heard God's voice. A bit later he does. And here's a word of advice to one and all, and it's this. Never be afraid to say to somebody, "Actually, I can't give you an answer right now. I need to go away and hear God on that before I give you an answer." My friends, never be afraid to say that. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Actually, there's everything right about saying that, because it's far better than making a wrong decision and then having to get out of it later on. And that very night, Nathan hears the voice of God. Verse 3, "That night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, you are not the one to build me a house to dwell in.'" Gosh, how do you give someone that news? Go and tell David that he's not the one to do it. A green light from everyone apart from the Lord. And of course, that's the only green light you need. And David didn't have it. You see, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. How can you know the difference? Well, let me tell you, it's not by reason. David's idea was perfectly reasonable. No, the only way that we can know the difference between a good idea and a God idea is by hearing from God. That's the only way. And that's why we as a church need to be a people whose priority it is to listen to the voice of God and to hear what he's telling us and then to obey it. Well, that night, God speaks to Nathan and he passes that on to his friend David. And God's will came out loud and clear. David, you're not the one. You're not the one who God wants to do that. You're not the one who God wants to build the temple, that place where the presence of God is to be found. It's not you. Although the idea had come to David, God didn't want him to do it. I remember once seeing a film of Cliff Richard, who did a lot of work with Tear Fund, and it was one of the things where Cliff went out with his guitar and visited some of the projects that the money raised by his songwriting and his fundraising went to support. And you know, there was a scene where he goes to this camp with orphan and homeless people. And there's a team of nurses out there giving injections and dealing with horrendous diseases and things. And Cliff goes with his guitar and, of course, sings to them all like he does. And then he says to the nurse, I want to give up singing and come and do what you do. I want to get my hands dirty and really do the real stuff and stop this singing, entertaining stuff. And the nurse wisely said to him, Cliff, that's a great idea. Could you just fetch that scalpel over there and cut out this saw and then dress it? And he went, no, he wasn't the one to do it. Great idea. But he wasn't the one to do it. He was the one to go and sing songs and raise millions and send them over so that someone else could do that. There are many things that God did want David to do, but building the temple wasn't one of them. And, you know, it can be like that for us as well. There are times when the way forward might seem obvious. The idea seems right. We talk it over with our friends and they agree. Yet God says, no. No, I don't want you to do that. And that can be a really difficult thing to accept. Surely it's right. It must be right. It seems in accordance with the Bible. It's certainly not against it. It needs to happen. I've got a heart for it. Yet God says no. A no from God can often be a real disappointment. When the thing that you thought was going to happen through you, or perhaps happen for you, doesn't happen. Months and years and sometimes even decades pass by. And God seems to be saying no. Or something really, really great does happen. But you're not the one who does it and you're not central to it. Can be really difficult. But what we've got to notice from this story in the life of David is that alongside God's, if you like, his refusal of the request, comes an affirmation of the person. The no to David building the temple was not a no to David. It didn't mean that the Lord had rejected him or was no longer with him. It was just that the Lord had called David to fight battles and not to build buildings. So the next thing that God does in our story this morning is to affirm David. And he does it with a wonderful series of promises. Verse 7, now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. That's him affirming David as king. I've been with you wherever you've gone. And he's still with God. He's still with David. And I've cut off all your enemies from before you. I've given you success. And now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people. That's an affirmation. It's a no to the idea of him building a temple for God. But it's a yes to him. Very definite yes to him. God's still with him. He's called him to be king, to win on the battlefield. And you know, there's yet so much more than that, that David can't see. He couldn't possibly see. Because as always, God has got a plan. And his plan is so much more wonderful and far-reaching than anything that David could possibly have imagined. Because it goes on and says this in verse 11. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. One of your own sons. I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me. The prophecy continues. A temple will be built. That place where God will dwell among his people. And it will be done by one of David's sons. Which son? Well, of course, we know the answer to that. Obviously, it's Solomon. We know that it was Solomon who built the temple. Right? Well, right. But as we read on, you see, this description of this son actually begins to fit Solomon less and less. He is the one who will build the house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. That begins to fit Solomon less and less as we read on. Who can it be? Who is this son? This son of David, whose kingdom will be established forever. Well, his name is Jesus, the son of David, the son of God. And he reigns now and forevermore in glory, and his kingdom will have no end. For Jesus was this temple. Jesus was this place where God dwells on earth. You know, talking about himself in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says, destroy this temple. Talking about himself. And I will raise it again in 3 days. And so he did. And then built a new temple. Founded not on thousands of planks of cedar wood, but just on two planks nailed together where the Son of God was crucified for you and for me, that God might dwell not inside a tent or even inside a temple, but actually in us. In us, through his Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, and who you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. You see, that's the truth. Yes, God has built a house for him to dwell in on earth at his own expense through the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God. And that temple, because of what Jesus has done, that place where God dwells is in us. It's in me and it's in you. So was David completely wrong about the temple? No. He just didn't know what God knew. It was a good idea. My father David, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, my father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. You did well to have this in your heart. It's just that he didn't know what God knew. And sometimes when God says no, it's not always for discipline or for correction. Sometimes it's for redirection. God's answers are sometimes surprising, but they're never wrong. God is never wrong. And that's why David turns the no, that no from God, into praise. He turns it into praise. I wonder this morning if you've ever tried doing that. Have you ever tried turning a no from God to you into praise? Seeing the blessing in a no from God. Because in verses 16 to 27 from the lips of David, we get one of the great prayers of the Bible. And it's doing just that. It's turning the no into praise. There's an old hymn that goes this. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And it's then that we get the attitude that made David a man after God's own heart. You see, as far as he was concerned, it was his son Solomon who was the one to build the temple, not him. So what does he do? Basically, he does this. He says to Solomon, son, what do you need? How can I help you? Tell me, how can I serve you? What can I do? 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 17. Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. It's a challenge when we're not the one. It's a challenge to bless the ministry of another. But that's exactly what David did. And God blessed him for it. You see, you never lose out in the economy of God, do you? Even a no brings blessing from God. And actually, for a willing servant heart, there's always a way to be involved. Even if you're not the one. So where does that leave us this morning? Well, we've got a God who loves us, who wants to speak to us, and who wants to guide us. That's plain. He wants to meet us where we are and affirm us and encourage us. And he also wants to use us, but he wants to do it in his way, which is not always the way that we would choose. You see, it's about hearing what he wants and obeying it. So have you heard? Have you heard from God lately about what he wants of you? Or have you yet to hear from the Lord as to what he wants to do? What your part of the building of his church here at Alma is? If not, he does have something for you. And he does want to speak to you about it. Perhaps your life is full of good ideas. Every day full of stuff to do. Yet, you don't really feel that the Lord is moving in your life in power. You don't really feel that spiritually anything particular is happening. And yet you're doing so much. Maybe this morning you're someone who feels that God has said no to you. And your dreams have faded a little over the passing of time. Perhaps you feel discouraged. Perhaps you feel unused. Maybe even unloved. Maybe you feel of little value to the kingdom of God this morning. Then perhaps you need to hear his love afresh for you. For it is surely there. A word of encouragement. A word of direction. Just someone to pray for you. Or why not? Why not have someone pray for you? In a minute I'm going to ask the ministry team if they'd come and sit over there in those chairs, and then we're going to have a bit of worship, and Rob and the gang are going to come and help us to praise God. If God's spoken to you this morning, then perhaps as the worship starts, perhaps you'd like to move over to the side there as the music's going on and just sit next to someone, because of course it was through someone else, through Nathan, that David heard from God, wasn't it? So God does use us. Let's worship the Lord together, shall we? And can I ask the ministry team, whoever they might be this morning, if they would like to go over to the dangerous place there, where you might, even if you're just sitting there, you might get prayed for. So you might want to move. You might not. But if God's spoken to you, go and get some prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you that your word is living and active. Lord, open our hearts to hear your voice, to receive your answer, and to act graciously. Help us to receive from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.